Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
Let's get right to it with foreign correspondent Raf Sanchez. Good.
So that's a different approach. That's not one we've had a lot of time to think much about. Let's move all of the people in Gaza, all of the so-called Palestinians. I say so-called because, yes, that's the way we refer to them, but never been a big fan of that particular name. But okay, so because Palestinians are in the West Bank. Which, again, not to get into the geography lesson, but that's on the Israel side of the Jordan River, on the west side of the river. And then there's the Gaza Strip down towards Egypt. Let's take 2 million Gaza residents, Gazans, okay, and let's move them to Egypt and Jordan and anywhere else they want to go, Saudi Arabia, you know, whatever. I mean, probably not Iran, because it's, you know, Sunni, Shia, so it's kind of an issue here. But okay, let's move them out. And, you know, Trump's a builder, right? He's a renovator, and he fixed the hotel and the ice rink and the post office and, you know, stuff. So let's move in the cranes and the construction, and let's just completely refurbish. I mean, you might say remodel. It's a demo first, though. There's a lot of demo needed. Demo, rebuild, let's turn it into it's nice real estate. It's beachfront property. Let's rehab it, and then we'll keep ownership. I don't know, maybe we'll make it the 51st state. It's kind of a competition at this point. Who's going to get to statehood first? Is it going to be Greenland? Is it going to be Canada? Might be 51 through 55. Is it going to be Panama? You know, it's probably never going to be Puerto Rico, sorry. But, you know, it's just... You buy a distressed property if you can flip it. I'm not sure there's a lot of flipping in Puerto Rico, but you might say Gaza is another story.
Francis, good morning. The president seems to be suggesting the 2 million Palestinians of the Gaza Strip would be displaced, potentially on a permanent basis. They'd be moved to a third country, and the U.S. would take not just control, but ownership of Gaza. And he is not ruling out sending in U.S. troops to make this happen. So it is hard to overstate quite how radical this plan is.
So, John, if you wanted to take a nice trip to the Mediterranean, you could stay in the United States and go to the Mediterranean.
Wow. That's a great combination.
Different?
Yeah.
Different. I mean,
definitely different.
You got to say this. You've never heard this idea before.
Never.
I mean. Just, you know, okay. What do the Palestinians think? Well, they're not fans. They're not fans. Because for reasons that, in a way, pass understanding, they want to stay in Gaza? I mean, this is like offering all of the school children in Chicago that they can go to Santa Rosa County and them being like, no, we're good here! Now, the other side, not to pick on Santa Rosa, just they have really good schools. But, you know, the flip side is that the folks in Santa Rosa are like, oh, hell no. Right, the folks in Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia are like, no, we do not want our fellow Arabs here. I mean, yeah, they came from here originally, sort of, but we don't want them back. These are really rough folks. We don't want them. So it's not an open reception at the moment.
President Trump is suggesting that these 2 million Palestinians would go to Egypt and Jordan. These are both U.S. allies in the Middle East, and they are both saying they will not take in these large numbers of Palestinians. The president, speaking before that press conference yesterday, basically saying that he will make them take in that population, whether they like it or not.
Interesting. So the United States is in a position of taking in refugees from countries all over the globe, particularly from Central and South America. But Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia don't seem to be so pro-refugee when it comes to those difficult residents of the Gaza Strip. But maybe with a little incentive, like, I don't know, all this aid we just cut off, you might restore some of that aid in exchange for maybe being willing to take your fair share of your fellow Arab, Muslim, Sunni Muslims out of Gaza while we get in there and rebuild them with, say, the National Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers and turn it into a beachfront paradise for all of the vacationing Floridians who can't get enough of the beaches on this side of the water. I don't know what the, you know. So then you've got the actual designated representative to the Middle East is asked about this, and he says,
peace in the region means a better life for the Palestinians. A better life is not necessarily tied to the physical space that you're in today. A better life is about a better opportunity, better financial conditions, better aspirations for you and your family. That doesn't occur because you get to pitch a tent in the Gaza Strip.
It might not seem like being forced to move to Egypt or Jordan or Saudi Arabia or where, whatever, you know, non-Shia countries you try to find would be a great thing. But then again, you're thinking short term. You know, any objective person. John?
Yes?
If you had to live in the Gaza Strip or, say, Cairo, what would you pick?
Well, of course the Strip. I mean.
Wait, what?
Gaza
Why?
Strip.
Over Cairo?
Well, there's more water.
Stop it. So there's it's actually not. I think most, I mean, it's seems like there's better opportunity in, you know, Amman and Cairo and Riyadh than there is in Gaza. And we have leverage, maybe, not necessarily with them, but with others. So we're taking in refugees. You won't take in refugees. You should take in refugees. We have aid to leverage. I think that the threat of military force is probably unlikely, but you can't rule anything out with this particular president. So you got to give it an A-plus for creativity. You've certainly got, for the unexpected, what is Trump always really good at? He's always really good at taking the negotiation and bringing in an element, stretching the parameters in a way that surprises and makes you uncomfortable. You know, John Stewart spent a whole bunch of the time on Monday talking about how let's throw tariffs against our longest ally, Canada. Not fair, you know. Also, he got something done, right? He got troops to help interdict drugs at the border in the north, and same thing in the south, with Mexico. So, you know, it worked, or at least it seems like it worked. It hasn't worked yet for China. Oh, side note, people are reacting to the Chinese tariffs. My son, who is actually moving out because he got a job, and that's a whole other story I don't want to get into right now. I'll start crying on the air. Anyway, but he's just buying a desk from Walmart. And the desk is $90, okay? And he went to buy the desk. They found the one they wanted, but they weren't going to buy it just yet. He and his mom, my wife, are shopping. And they wait a day, and then they go look, and the desk is now $139. And the note on the site says, because China. So apparently Walmart, importer from China of many goods and goods, has decided that a 40%? A 40% hike in the price of goods is how you react to a 10% tariff. Even if the desk were coming from Canada, where there are no tariffs now, still be hard to justify a 40% increase on a 25% tariff, but we right now have a 0% tariff, so it's extra hard to justify, but I digress. Anyway, so back to this plan to, He didn't say statehood, but I think we're all thinking it. You know, maybe why not? Turn Gaza into the 51st state and displace all of the, let's say, current residents, Gazans, to go to other places. I mean, this is like, imagine if there were some group of people, I don't know, living in central Pensacola. I won't, scenic heights, okay? And they have a bunch of relatives that live in, like, I don't know, Robertsdale, Alabama. But the folks in Robertsdale do not want the Scenic Heights family living with them. They've always not wanted them to live with them. But there's this long simmering problem with the Millers, you know, that live in Scenic Heights. And the Millers and the Stevens, okay? The Stevens, who have also been longtime residents of Scenic Heights. And the Millers and the Stevens don't get along. And the Millers one day knock on the home and go inside and beat a bunch of Stevens up and kill some of them. And so the Stevens, you know, they call PPD, and PPD kind of comes and helps, and they, not so much, but the Stevens take matters in their own hands and they go, you know, get some payback against the Millers. And then in comes a new, what would be my good metaphor here, sheriff, I guess? We have a good sheriff now, but okay. So Chip Simmons says, okay, look, the solution, I guess, be more Mayor D.C. Reeves because it's the city of Pensacola, okay? So D.C. Reeves says, okay, here's the answer. Turns out the Millers don't belong there anyway. They don't really own that land. They shouldn't be there anyway, and they should really go live with their relatives in Robertsdale. They'll be happier. Robertsdale is better. I mean, that's not really true in the analogy, but and the Stevenses are like, yeah, that's a good plan. And the Millers like, no, hell no, we won't go. But you did attack your neighbors. And we can relocate you. And you know what we'll do is we'll improve Scenic Heights. We'll make it better for everybody. That's probably the worst metaphor I've ever used on the radio. But there it is. The only problem is that the Robertsdale people don't want them. And they don't want to leave. They just want to see. They want to stay there. And they want to keep eventually occasionally harming their neighbors. I don't know. Play with the metaphor as you like. I think this is an interesting idea. It's crazy time. But it's different. I mean, what's the better plan? there's literally no better plan. That doesn't make this a great plan, but the alternatives are kind of scarce. And it's not working, and it hasn't worked for a long time. And then they decided to attack their neighbor and kill a bunch of people and capture a bunch of people and rape a bunch of people and do some really awful things. Not each and every one of the Gaza residents, but, you know, the Hamas ones. So will this turn into, I don't know. President Trump is like so many things, it looks nuts at first. And then the more you look at it, you're like, well, I don't, that's not all that insane. Panama, okay, is a good example. I think that I'm not probably going to ever have a chance to really cut up the clips from the Panama hearing that was last week. Or was it the week before? Now I forget. Anyway, about 3 hours. Very interesting. Do you know the treaty we have with Panama? We can literally just up and say, the president can literally say, it's Wednesday, Panama's in breach of the treaty, I'm sending troops there, and there's nothing you can do about it. We're legally entitled. Like, the gift of the Panama Canal came with a concession of sovereignty that in the future, either side could declare that we're in breach of the treaty. And the treaty is null and void, and that's it. Now, could we get it back at this point? It's not too clear exactly, but the treaty itself. And oh, by the way, this is not just about blustering. This is China is in control of the two major ports on either end of the canal, with which they could effectively blockade the canal by, oh, just a stray ship sitting in the way, which, of course, could happen anyway. They're building bridges, or at least one major one, another one in works over the canal, which puts them in a position to, if you had a bridge, say, accidentally fall into the canal, it would effectively blockade the canal for quite some time. You have the Panamanian Canal Authority is doing a thing where they sell spots at the front of the line to the highest bidder, meaning that certain commodities and certain wealthier shipping companies are able to buy a spot in front, and that's capitalism in a way. That's, you know, easy pass or whatever they call it when you go to Disney. okay? They get in front of everybody else. Everybody else has to wait in line. But that's costing American shippers or other shippers money because, you know, for example, the groceries aren't worth as much, so they can't afford to pay it. And then the other things, like, say, energy products can pay it. But that completely shuffles around what's being done in terms of the shipping, and it's adversely affecting a lot of both recipients on this side and shippers, okay? So there's a lot of dimensions to this Panama thing. It's not like, yes, if Trump tries to invade Greenland, impeach him, okay? Duh. But if Trump declares that the treaty with Panama is void and decides to send troops down to recover the Panama Canal for the United States, who only gave it with the concession that we could do this eventually if it happened, that might just be legal. So this is what I'm saying. Like, it's so easy to dismiss things as nuts, but then it's kind of like the more you think about some of them, I'm not saying all of them, you know, abolishing the Department of Education. Oh, that's crazy. Show me in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, where the federal government has authority over the realm of education. You can't. It's not there. Can he do it without Congress? No. But, you know, there's more to be said about this subject. Most all of these subjects have more. The citizenship one, the 14th Amendment. That's crazy. Well, has it ever actually been settled? What illegal immigrant parents, whether they confer citizenship upon a child born here? No, it has never been settled. Oh, whoops. So, anyway, just with most of these things, you got to kind of pause and look and think and do some research. And wow, the Gaza one is, I didn't expect that on a Tuesday. John Pickens has not got traffic on the fives because it's too early, but we are going to take a break. I'm Andrew McKay.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do,
let's play something, Grandma,
became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze car vent clips, featuring 3 distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar! La, 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 la.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Black History Month, dinner with an aria, the new semester of the Atlas Beverage Class, Pensacon at the Fish House, and Naples to Napa food and wine event today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Look, fellas, let's be reasonable, huh? This is not the time or the place to perform some kind of a half-assed autopsy on a fish.
My heart's in overdrive. It's great to be alive.
Is alive. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If I ever really sit down to think about how much of my brain is occupied by movie quotes, it would be a frightening exercise. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the first group of criminal migrants deported from the U.S. and flown to Guantanamo Bay will be waking up behind bars in Gitmo this morning. The White House announced the flight's departure yesterday. It took off from El Paso, landed shortly after 7 o'clock Eastern time. There's a new bill in the Senate that would cap credit card interest rates at 10%. That was introduced by Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders and Missouri Republican Josh Hawley. The cap would be in effect for 5 years if it were to pass.
The cap on what again?
Credit card interest rates at 10%.
So the credit card companies will go out of business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who needs that?
Because the high interest rate on credit cards is a byproduct of the risk they take to provide that quick, easy money to the average American who doesn't know how to handle it because it's crack cocaine But still, that just means you won't have credit card companies, right? Or they'll only lend to people who have really, really good credit. Like, I'll be able to get a credit card, but we don't need one. That's only the people who don't need them will be able to get them.
Right, yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
Cool. Okay, all right.
Glad you're on board.
You know, if people can't afford, if people cannot handle crack, we make it illegal. And if people cannot handle credit cards, we basically make them illegal. So, all right, interesting approach.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip. And we will do a job with it, too.
Standing next to Israel's prime minister at the White House, President Trump says the United States should control and redevelop Gaza, with Palestinians living there moved somewhere else.
Saudi Arabia, an important U.S. ally, saying it would never establish ties with Israel without the creation of a Palestinian state. Rejection, too, from Gaza's neighbor Egypt and one of Europe's only mainly Muslim countries, Turkey. Hamas calling the plan a recipe for chaos. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
At least one person is dead, five hospitalized in a shooting at a cosmetics plant in New Albany, Ohio.
We have a person of interest, and we are working to locate them and bring them into custody.
Police Chief Craig Jones there saying the shooting appears to have been targeted, but nothing yet about a possible motive. He says a gun was found in the building. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, and right now 57 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, anybody who drives over the 3 Mile Bridge at night has probably noticed something lately. The lights are not working. It's been that way since Snowmageddon a couple of weeks ago.
Employees coming into work and everything said with the fog that it was real, real difficult, you know, out there seeing and everything.
That is Gulf Breeze Police Chief Rick Hawthorne. FDOT says engineers have been working to inspect the electrical system on the bridge. So far, though, there's no word on exactly what's damaged or how long it's going to take to make the needed repairs to get the lights turned back on. But until that happens, Rick Hawthorne says drivers should just slow down and drive at or below the speed limit on the bridge when it's dark. Pennair Credit Union says their customers have been targeted with scam texts. The messages are being sent and appear to come from the bank, claiming the customer's card has been used to make a payment at Target or a different store, then asking them to click here to stop the payment. Pennair says it's not a legitimate message from the bank. It's actually a phishing scam intended to access your account. The bank says if you get one of those messages, do not click on any links in the text. A tentative agreement for Escambia County teacher pay raises has been reached. Escambia County Public Schools, the Escambia Education Association, and the Union of Escambia Education Staff Professionals have agreed to an incremental pay raise for teachers. It would vary from $800 to $3,000 per year, depending on current salary level and last year's performance ratings. The minimum teacher salary would increase from $45,500 to $48,300 per year. Bus drivers would also get a 4% raise. Other employee groups would be getting a pay grade increase as well. The unions will be advertising this tentative agreement and delivering ratification packets over the next few weeks. Union members are expected to vote by the end of February. Motorcyclist was seriously injured in a crash in Cantonment this week. That happened on 29 near the grocery outlet. The rider was airlifted to a hospital. There's no update on their current condition. FHP is still investigating. Pensacola police say a man was arrested on a homicide charge after a woman was found dead at a residence on North 7th Avenue yesterday. A call came in on Monday afternoon. Police say when they got to that home, they found a female victim deceased. Investigators identified 37-year-old Devarius Catterall James as a suspect. He was located and arrested on charges of second-degree homicide, tampering with evidence, resisting an officer, and not reporting a death. James now remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Well, Florida's former attorney general is now the top prosecutor in the U.S. The Senate yesterday confirmed Pam Bondi's appointment as U.S. attorney general. The Hillsborough County native was confirmed with 54 votes. One Democrat voted for her, Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania. He said Bondi wouldn't be his ideal pick, but said she was qualified. Florida Senator Rick Scott says Bondi was a great attorney general for Florida and said she would be a great attorney general for the nation as well. He said that he has no doubt she'll do an incredible job restoring trust in the federal government. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Dense fog possible through those morning hours. Fog burns off in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies in the afternoon with a high near 72. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61 with fog possibly redeveloping. Going into Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 73. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62 with fog possible. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 57 degrees in Pensacola. It's 60 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 54 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Disney will report its fiscal first quarter earnings before the bell this morning. Analysts polled by LSEG expect earnings per share of $1.45 and revenue of roughly $24.6 billion. Executives will hold a conference call at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Job openings fell in December, a sign that the labor market is cooling but still healthy. Openings fell to 7.6 million from 8.2 million in November. That's according to the Labor Department. They were down from 8.9 million a year earlier. Alphabet shares fell as much as 9% in after-hours trading after the company reported fourth-quarter results that missed on revenue and expectations. The company announced that it plans to invest $75 billion in capital expenditure in 2025 as it continues to expand on its artificial intelligence strategy. The company also reported disappointing cloud revenue at nearly $12 billion during the quarter. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 134. That's your money now.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:38, almost 39, here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk to our friend Chip Simmons, the Scambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You never quite know what to make of me, do you?
Well, I'm just looking at your weather forecast.
Thank you.
It's brilliant.
On the pea soup scale, it's not ready yet.
Because you look out the window and say, it's foggy outside.
Yeah, all right. You know, all right. Prepare. We had a really awful thing happen last night, kind of an unusual and awful, right? Over in by Ashton Brosnahan Park off Millbrook, is that right?
Yeah, we had a murder suicide. These are again domestic related. In this case, we had a son in some sort of an argument or disagreement with his father, ended up shooting and killing his father, and then he came outside of the bedroom that they were in, ended up getting into an altercation with his mother. His mother subsequently fled to a bedroom. She heard a couple shots, and one of those shots was the son taking his own life. So when we got there, obviously, the father just was deceased at the scene, and the son, the shooter, the killer, he ended up dying at the hospital. So,
I mean, awful for wrapping her, that investigation for the up. Dad, for the, I, you know, and you can only, you know, only imagine the anguish the son must have been going through in those moments to make that horrible decision after what he had done already. I just, it's awful.
Yeah, who knows how, what, you know, to be triggered to that point.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what the circumstances were, and we may never know the exact circumstances now because both of them are dead.
And you know, I know we say it a lot, but I just don't want to go without saying it, that, man, take a breath, take a walk. I must have said it 1,000 times to my boys, you know, raising 3 boys, leave the area. You know, the number one thing you can do if you're starting to get into high tension, you know, because the feeling is like, I got to retaliate, I got to say something, I got to do something. Just leave. Get out. Separation. Distance is that'll solve 99% of these things, at least for now.
Well, and I believe you can practice these things on smaller arguments.
Yep.
You know, you can make this a habit. You can make this part of your personality, really.
Yeah.
You can take that breath, and if you know that you get really, really sprung up, mm-hmm. then you understand that. You take a look at yourself and decide, you know, it is a good idea to walk away, and we can always come back. We can all probably use a little bit of that advice.
Absolutely. And that's why I love, like, you know, you guys are doing you're starting a Blazer Academy tonight, right? So,
right.
You know, teaching people all kinds of things, including how to handle their emotions, you know, handling your emotions. I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again, but, you know, to become a man, you learn how to handle your anger and your lust. I mean, that's, you know, you learn to handle those things and you become a man. Until you do, you're not. But that's just one of those things, like you coach football for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, and people say, well, it's a violent sport. Yeah, within limits.
It's
with restraint.
Control,
right. And that's learning how to hit somebody in a way that's not a penalty is a way of learning how to act within limits with restraint to control yourself, right?
Well, that's exactly what, you know, as football coach, at least, we were talking about that controlled, before the whistle, you were this controlled, violent individual. But once you're a gentleman afterwards.
Right.
You're a gentleman between plays. You're a gentleman after the game. You're a gentleman before the game. And that is exactly what we teach or try to instill in the students in the Blazer Academy. And we talk a lot about de-escalation. We talk a lot about why does one thing make you so angry that it affects your life, or could the consequences could affect, you know, the rest of your life or someone else's life. So that you're right. That's exactly what we talk about. We don't necessarily talk about murder, suicides, but we take those situations and we turn them into our own role play type scenarios.
You know, we got to talking about Blazer Academy because of this awful event. I didn't know you did that in the Blazer Academy. Like, it makes perfect sense. I'm glad you do. I had always been thinking that it was more about social protocols and learning how to, you know, shake hands and look somebody in the eye. And I know you do all
that
stuff too.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to make a resume or just, you know, that kind of stuff. But the fact that you openly talk with them about, you know, conflict resolution, de-escalation, managing your emotions is, I mean, of course you do, but thank God you do. Like, that's super important stuff.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what makes our program, our Blazer Academy, different is that the instructors are law enforcement professionals mostly.
Yeah.
And although we do have some, you know, cautionary tales from people on the outside, but and part of what we tell them is that we use the experiences that we've either had personally or those that we're aware of. And like I say, we'll take this and we'll say, okay, let's just find a way to to talk about this de-escalation, talk mm-hmm. to, you know, maybe, you know, and they won't know it. They typically don't know where we get it from, but what if you, we'll do something like, let's consider your parents have made you so angry, you don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we tell them, we teach them. We're not the only ones to teach it, but we can reinforce it in the 6 weeks that we have.
Absolutely. No, I think that's fantastic stuff. You had an incident, I think it was last night, maybe, at Softly Pines Road, a SWAT team call out, right?
Yeah, we had our patrol units going over to a house on Softly Pines Road. They were looking for a guy named Jurin Dworshak, Dworshak, Dworshak.
Okay.
And when he saw us, he ran into his house. We surrounded the house. These are felony warrants, right? These are felony orders, basically, to take him into custody. We circled the house. We called our SWAT team out there. We knew that he had his wife inside there. We tried to talk to him and or her. There was nothing there. Nothing. No response from him. Obviously, we knew he was there because we saw him were inside.
Like, wouldn't take a call. Wouldn't yell through the door.
He wouldn't
nothing.
Do anything. But okay. He did. He would move the blind, so we knew someone was in there. We
okay.
knew that there was And again, we saw him in there, and we're not going to go away. You got felony warrants on you.
Yeah.
We circled the house. We got a search warrant. We called our SWAT team out. The Rook came out. We had our negotiators
That's
out.
That's the like Bobcat-y kind of thing with the front armor.
Bobcat. It's a ballistic Bobcat. But it also has like a ram and such. In this case, we decided we're going to go ahead and ram the door. We pushed the door in with this Bobcat, sent a drone inside to take a look at the situation. Ultimately, we had to go inside there, tried some non-lethal on him. Mm-hmm. That didn't work, so we had to pile on top of him and take him into custody. Everyone's okay. His wife's okay. He's okay. But now he's got some more serious charges on
right.
him. He's had some battery on law enforcement. We've had some deals with this
okay.
knucklehead before. And now he's loaded up with more charges.
And, that's – you've been doing law enforcement more than 5 years. yeah. A little while. Yeah. When abouts did all the non-lethal stuff come into play? It seems to my mind like it's within the last 20 years or so it's really become an emphasis. Am I
probably the late 90s. I recall I was a sergeant on the SWAT team at the Pensacola Police Department, and I was the first non-lethal instructor. They sent me to pepper spray school and beanbag school and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And so I came back and I was the instructor for that at the police department. So that's the first time that we had it. Now it was about that time for your period, probably late 90s, that it really became popular with law enforcement.
And I mean, you had the advent of tasers and all of the
options.
That was
a little bit later, right.
Yeah, all of the options eventually. One of the, I don't know, it got a lot more attention on social media. I know we published the video on our Facebook page, but it happens occasionally. You had somebody going the wrong way on I-110.
Yes.
At speed. Didn't notice that cars were going around him. Caught on video. Thank God they didn't run into anybody. But one of your deputies was going the other direction correctly, passed him, whipped around and came and pulled him over, right?
Yeah. We all saw the video. And I was cringing, hoping that no one was going to get hit. Because
absolutely.
As you mentioned, we get these reports occasionally. Maybe not here, but in other areas where a head-on collision resulted in one or two or multiple fatalities. In this case, there was a white truck that was southbound in the northbound lane of Interstate 110. Luckily, we had one of our lieutenants, Joanna Ramos. She was getting on shift. She was getting on call. So she gets out. She's in an unmarked but lights, a lighted vehicle. And when she gets on going northbound, she's going the correct way. She realizes the cars are veering in front of her. Then she has to take evasive action, then immediately turns right around and ends up stopping the truck. So luckily she was there. Everyone said, they must have called 911. They may have called 911 later, but this was one of our lieutenants just happened to be at the right place at the right time. There was one question, how come she was going the wrong way? She wasn't pursuing this truck the wrong way. She was going the correct way and noticed right in front of her while these cars veering, and she was able to veer herself and then turn around immediately and stop it. Ended up arresting a 43-year-old female for DUI, and we are so lucky that she did not kill anyone or herself.
We had some people post on that video and say that they were there, like they didn't get hit, and they're grateful. And it's got to be terrifying for her going, because she had to pursue the wrong way in order to pursue the pickup. I mean, that's, and it was a DUI ultimately, right? I think was the charge.
Yes, DUI. Yeah,
so, I mean,
Only because she didn't kill anyone.
Right. It
would have been a lot worse than that.
Right.
Again, normally, I got a question yesterday. How would you have handled? Well, we would have probably stopped traffic before then. Try to get upstream,
if you will. Right.
Yeah, but again, this was just a quick thinking deputy, and obviously to veer away and then turn right around and stop the truck.
I did want to ask you, just because it's been so much in the news, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking with Alex Andrade, Representative Andrade, about the immigration fight between the Governor DeSantis and the legislature. And you and I talked a little bit about this last week, that mm-hmm. one of your big concerns is you just don't want to have more to do because you're already, responding. You're at capacity in terms of what you're responding to all the time. But is there a problem here to be solved? Is there a gap to be overcome? Your ability to work with ICE, or when you have worked with ICE and your folks in the past, can you maybe, just give us some perspective on, you're the local law enforcement, and immigration is becoming more of an issue and enforcing and deporting people. How does that work at our level, at your level?
Well, I again, want to remind everyone, we've always worked with our federal partners on violent criminals and gang members. And if there is a violent criminal, whether it's someone that's legally or illegally in this country, we're going to work with our with DEA and ATF, FBI. We're on numerous task forces. We're on task force right now with the Marshal Service, and it's a violent crime task force. We look for people with violent crimes, and if they happen to be someone that's here illegally, obviously we're gonna help them with that. So we've always done that, and we'll continue to do that because no one wants violent criminals off the street or violent gang members off the street more than I do. We also would like to add those who are crimes against children, the internet crimes against children. There's a lot, but there's certainly some of those in that fit that correct category as well. So as violent criminals and anyone that violates a child, we're going to go after them, whether we need federal authorities or not. So that's always the case. Now, where local law enforcement sits with this federal level and their state level and all this sort of thing, I'll be honest, I don't know what the final outcome of these competing bills are going to be. And I don't know exactly what they're tasking local law enforcement with. Mm-hmm. Are we busy? Of course, we're very busy. But I will tell you that whatever we will enforce the state statute. I'm sworn to uphold the Constitution, state of Florida, and the United States. And I'm just hoping that that the federal feds can do their job is what I'm really hoping.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that if there's any changes to the state law, that it's something that we can all agree upon is best for the community. And again, doesn't take us away from responding to 911 calls, and I really want to concentrate on the violent felons, whether they're legal or illegal.
You made me think of something. I know a lot of times you and I talk about a crime that happens, and nobody's willing to talk to you. Nobody's willing to cooperate with you,
right,
because of whatever reasons. One thought I think some people might have is that with particularly Mexican or Hispanic immigrant communities feeling more beleaguered, attacked, at risk, whatever you want to call it, that they might become less eager to cooperate, more reluctant to cooperate because, you know, heck, if I talk to the cops, maybe my brother gets arrested or whatever because he's here illegally. Have you run into anything like that in that particular community here locally? Has there been any issue with that?
Oh, we have not. We have had in the past, we've had some reported crimes involving, those that appear who have ultimately been illegal, and these refer those to ICE because that's their job.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have any. We have not experienced any thoughts where
experiences where
no one wants to talk to us because of for fear
for status. Okay. Well, that's why I ask. So, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Again, the Blazer Academy, another class of this fantastic award-winning program starting tonight. Kudos to you for implementing it, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And, of course, that was yesterday, so by tonight, what I meant was Tuesday night, but, you know, you understand. 437-1620, 437-1620 is always my phone number if you want to contact me for any reason whatsoever. If you are looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, when it comes to used cars, I don't know about you. I don't know what experiences you have had. I know my experience in buying used cars has always been a bit kind of like, I need to go home and take a shower. You know, like it just always, there's always something about it that leaves you feeling not quite great. And typically because I think the used car experience is you feel like they're just trying to, you know, you're there and they're trying to get their maximum profit out of you. And then, you know, if they never see you again, they're happy about that. When we went to Frontier, it was not like that at all. It was very easy to work with them. I mean, you know, I will tell you this. I don't consider myself any great negotiator, but, you know, we looked at a price for a car we weren't going to buy. It was a good price. I asked them to come down. They said yes. I asked them for a day to think. They said yes. I asked them after the day, can we come down a little bit again? They said yes, and we bought the car. I mean, like, it didn't take a great negotiator. It just took somebody asking, you know, can you come down a little bit? And they did twice, and, like, we bought the car. And then they took care of us through the sale and then even after the sale to the point where, like, I don't want to go anywhere else. Like, I'm eager to buy my next car from them because of the way they treated me. And it was just a completely different way of doing used car sales. Cars that are, you know, 1, 2, maybe 3 years old, 10 to 50,000 miles, that they're going to warranty to 100,000 in 10 years or 10 years, whichever you get there first. But the point is they're going to give you cars that you can count on, that can take care of you because they want you to have that relationship, confidence, and trust. So, you know, when I say that Frontier has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
No, 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 stop talking. What do you want from me?
What?
What do you want from me? Stop acting like an infant.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David, I mean, I know you're enjoying the Robert Palmer, but still, you know, we have to move on to actual business, so go on.
All right, well, if you insist, Andrew. arguments over pausing President Trump's order to end birthright citizenship will be heard in federal court this morning. The executive order was put on hold after several states sued to try and stop it. Today's arguments coming from a lawsuit from an immigrant right advocacy group and five pregnant undocumented women.
Yeah, he's 100% losing this case at this level. They're definitely going to say that his order is unconstitutional, and eventually it's the Supreme Court is going to make this call. Yeah.
Absolutely. Pennsylvania authorities say 100,000 organic eggs worth over $40,000 were stolen from the back of a truck over the weekend. Police say the eggs were taken on Saturday night from the back of a distribution trailer outside of an organic food center in Greencastle. So far, they have no leads.
Wait. 100,000 eggs is worth 40 grand and they're organic? Well, no, it's not. It's worth 80 grand.
That's what I was going to say.
40 cents an egg. That's a sale.
I saw the 100,000 eggs headline. I assumed it was way bigger of a heist.
You're right, exactly. And you've seen now that Waffle House is going to have
50 cents an egg.
50 cents an egg. I mean, that's price gouging, right? Because they're not paying 50 cents an egg.
Well,
not paying 50 cents an egg more than they were paying a week ago, right? I mean, they were paying, let's say, 20 cents an egg a week ago. They're not paying 70 cents an egg. 50 cents is a big margin to add per egg. Like, your three-egg omelet's going to be $1.50 more. That's a lot in the scheme of things. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. You got me derailed on thinking about eggs.
Well, no, now I'm thinking about eggs. Police are on the hunt for a shooter that killed one person and injured five at a warehouse in New Albany, Ohio, just northeast of Columbus. That happened last night about 10:30 p.m. at a cosmetics warehouse. Police have locked down that site and recovered a weapon. And that's all we know about that so far.
I'm looking for the salt surcharge and the flour surcharge.
How much would you charge per shake of the salt shaker?
Well, I mean, you know, if we're really going to talk about, I mean, you know, ham is not cheap. I mean, if you're going to get your hash browns, what is it, topped? Is that the one with the ham? I always forget. I think maybe that's chili.
Chopped?
It's just scattered. Anyway, whatever. Smothered. If you're going to get it with the ham, I mean, you know, it's not just the charge, it's the surcharge. Because of the, you know, ham flu.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.